You are listening to episode 34 of the Sunday Shakeout, featuring a tutorial on hill training for distance runners. Hello and welcome to the Sunday Shakeout. I am your host, Nicholas. This episode features a practical tutorial on hill training for distance runners. I will be discussing why hill workouts are beneficial for distance runners, the types of hill workouts that you can do, how to make hill training specific to you in the race you are training for, a tutorial on hill sprints, and more. The goal of this episode is to provide athletes and coaches with practical insights on hill training so that they can apply it to their training, race faster, and stay injury-free. If you are new to the Sunday Shakeout, this show features guest interviews, training analysis and tips, gear views, and more. With tips for beginning, intermediate, and advanced runners alike, listeners will be provided with insightful information that will help them get faster, stay injury-free, and be happy. Frank Shorter, former American Olympic marathoner, once famously said, "Hills are speed work in disguise," and I couldn't agree more. Hill workouts have been historically used by many runners in many different cases during many different seasons. Whether you see Jakob Ingebrigtsen doing 20 by 200 meter hills in the winter, or a high school cross country team doing hill reps practicing the end of a state cross country race, hills are ubiquitous among the best athletes, teams, and coaches. Hill workouts are hard and unpleasant. They challenge your endurance, speed, and of course, will. Hills are very valuable and overlooked and can breed many benefits that are advantageous for distance runners, and this episode can hopefully paint a beautiful picture of hill workouts and can give practical tips for how to apply them to your training. So, without further ado, please enjoy my tutorial on hill training for distance runners. So I want to clear up something right out of the box here, because a lot of people are going to be saying, "Oh, hill workouts are bad for you. Runners should not be doing hill workouts. They're going to get injured." I argue against that. I think that hill workouts, in some cases, they can pose injury risk, especially if you're running up a hill with really bad form. So up a hill, you want to stay in good form, but it's hard to run up a hill fast without good form, so keep that in mind. But, you know, I could see, downhills, yeah, they put more impact on your joints. So I'd say hill workouts, they're not necessarily bad for you. I don't think at all. I think that the only way they could possibly be bad for you is if you run with bad form on them. So good form on hills is very important. Another thing that could be bad about hills is if you're coming back from an injury, you probably don't want to be hitting the hills too hard. That's the only thing. Like, if you're coming back from a calf strain, you'd really don't want to be hitting the hills, because that'll put more stress on your calves and Achilles. So don't do that. So certain injuries, you don't want to be back on hills. Maybe a knee problem or runner's knee or something like that. But overall, hills, they are good for you. There's nothing inherently bad about them. And if you use them effectively and with good form, you can reap massive benefits in your training. So keep that in mind. I don't want to hear any of this stuff about how hills are bad for you. They're going to cause injury, because if you use them properly, they will not. Trust me. So let's get into this episode. First, let's talk about why hill workouts are beneficial. Well, running uphill puts your body under a unique type of stress that you simply cannot replicate on flat land. That specific stress from hills results in some great adaptations and benefits. So first of all, there's less impact going uphill when you are running against gravity. So there is less pounding on your joints, connective tissues, and your musculoskeletal system as a whole. And hills also reinforce good mechanics, because it's really hard to run up fast up a hill with bad form. And not just general mechanics, but also end of race mechanics, because at the end of a race, most runners' forms start to fall apart, especially the tightening up in the shoulders and the neck, and just falling apart in general. Therefore, hills teaches you to tolerate a large number of lactate in the legs whilst keeping good form. So essentially what I mean is running tired while keeping good form. So therefore the end of a hill rep essentially emulates the end of a race when you're really tired. And so that's really good about hills. Hills are also a lot safer, and you're able to generate a lot more power safely on hills than on the flat. Again, because there's less stress on the musculoskeletal system. And finally, hills are very versatile and can be used during all phases of the season and can breed a great deal of running specific strength since you are working against gravity. There are many different types of workouts and I highly recommend hill workouts. All right, let's talk about the types of hill workouts that you can do. So let's start with short reps. Now, when we all think of hill workouts, we like to think of short reps. That is the traditional sort of hill workout. That's what most of us runners think about when we think of hill workouts. Now, these workouts are normally anywhere from 30 to 90 seconds in length when it comes to rep length. Usually 60 to 90 seconds jog down recovery to the bottom of the hill. And I like to see these workouts done at about 3K to 10K effort. Now notice I said effort there instead of pace. That part, effort, is very important. Many runners complain or they stress that they aren't able to go to their goal 5K pace up the hill. Let's say you run a 20-minute 5K and your 5K pace is around 6:26 per mile. You look down at your watch and you see like 7:30 and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm running so slow up this hill. Why am I not able to hit 5K pace? Don't worry. You're not going to be able to hit your 5K pace on a hill. That's normal because you're working against gravity and you're trying to climb the hill. So don't ever worry about that. Don't even try to shoot for goal pace up a hill. Instead, go by effort instead of pace. You'll be so much better suited and you'll actually accomplish the goal of the workout. So moral of the story, don't go by pace up a hill. If you really want to monitor something, I would recommend monitoring lactate for these short reps. I'm not going to tell you a specific value to hit. I'd say that 8 millimoles of lactate is a pretty popular thing to hit, but it really does depend on the length of your workout or the type of workout. If you're doing like 30 seconds, then the shorter the rep, the higher the lactate. The longer the rep, generally the shorter the lactate. So if you're doing 30 seconds, you could probably hit 8 or 9 lactate. If you're doing 90 seconds, you probably want to hit like something like 6 to 8. So that's kind of my general deal. Some people say that you should probably do short reps later in the season, or at least in the middle of the season. And the reason we want to do these in the middle of the season, or at least according to some people, is because they are great transition workouts when you want to transition between running unstructured fartlek workouts to more serious interval workouts. And so hill workouts will bridge that gap. Also, you can do these hill workouts in the base phase if you keep the workouts easy enough so you're not maxing. And that will be really effective. For example, Jakob Ingebrigtsen does 20 by 200 meter hills in the winter in his base phase when he's getting prepared for his outdoor season. He gets his lactate levels up to 8 millimoles while going pretty fast. And this workout helps him gain a little bit of strength and turnover and coordination earlier in the season so that he can maintain his form later in later stages of the races when everyone else is dying. Jakob Ingebrigtsen doesn't necessarily finish the races a lot faster than his competitors, but he finishes the races a lot stronger than his competitors, which is the important part. The hills help him be strong later in the races. So let's talk about long reps here. Long reps are probably the type of hill workouts that are the most avoided by most distance runners. They're the most grueling type of hill workout that you can do. They're not necessarily as intense as shorter reps, but they're pretty mentally challenging. Think like 2 to 5 minute reps, that's the long hills. And the reason why they're so mentally challenging is because at the beginning of a rep, when you look up and you see this huge hill, it's not that comforting when you realize that you have to run up that hill for 3 minutes or however long. So that's not a great feeling. And because the hills are longer, they are generally at a slower pace. Think tempo pace, half marathon pace, or marathon pace. And I like to use these workouts if I'm training for a longer race, and that's pretty much what I'm doing if I'm doing the longer hill workouts. They're not super popular, and that's pretty much for a reason. They're also really good for strength building. They're not the best. I like to use the shorter reps a lot better, but the longer reps, they do serve a purpose. They're also good if you're training for a more hillier race, and you really need to get some specific training in, so you'll be running up a hill at your goal race pace, and that'll be very specific to a hillier course. But it's good to keep in mind when we're talking about the short reps and the long reps that you don't have to run hills all the time to be great at running hills, because studies have shown that the best hill runners are the ones with the most developed aerobic metabolisms, the most endurance. Therefore, you don't always have to run hills to get better at hills, because building your endurance and your aerobic metabolism will help with that a lot. And to build your endurance, we need to be doing stuff like threshold training or aerobic workouts, doing double-digit long runs, and we need to be increasing our weekly mileage. Those three things, aerobic workouts, double-digit long runs, and increasing our weekly mileage, are going to dramatically improve our endurance, assuming you can stay injury-free, and in turn help you run a lot faster on hills. When you are talking about hill workouts, though, the types of hill workouts that you should do, so either the longer reps or the shorter reps, really does depend on the race you're training for. If you're training for a longer, hillier race, hill workouts are pretty irrelevant in most cases. We don't need to be focusing on training the hills. Instead, we should, again, focus on building our endurance by doing things like long runs, high mileage, and threshold. Now, it doesn't mean that we should completely disregard hills, but it does mean that we don't need to be doing those short and fast 30 to 60 second repetitions. Stephen Skolian preaches the same thing. He made an episode where he explained the training of Jakob Ingebrigtsen and how you can apply it to your own training. The biggest takeaway was that you have to make a training model, i.e. the Ingebrigtsen model, specific to you in the race you are training for. Jakob Ingebrigtsen does 25 by 400 meters on the track in 64 seconds for his threshold workouts, which is specific to his event, the 1500. By doing 400s and 1k reps at threshold, he is able to hit the correct lactate levels while going at faster speeds near his race pace, which allows him to achieve specific muscle fiber adaptations for his race pace. But for a marathon, it would be highly counterproductive to be doing 400s at 5k pace while hitting threshold because you're training for a marathon. Instead, you need to be doing longer reps at threshold, like 5k reps at threshold, and even straight tempo runs. 2k reps might be the shortest you get for an individual threshold rep, but that's okay because you're training for the marathon, not the 1500 and the 5k. And that same principle applies for hills. Jakob, he does 20 by 200 meter hills. I'm sure you're tired of me saying this, but he does that workout every Saturday in the winter. That session is specific to his events, the 1500 meters and the 5k. He is running those 200 meters up the hill at a fast race-specific effort, which is brilliant for his races. But for the marathon, there is absolutely no need for doing 30-second to 1-minute hills like the Ingebrigtsens do. They might hit 7 or 8 lactate at this pace so that the body can practice tolerating high amounts of lactate, but you can still go get the lactate pretty high by just doing longer reps at a pace that is specific to your event. And right now, if we're talking about the marathon, we're talking about 2 to 5 minute hills, and that is going to be highly race specific. So if you're training for a marathon, you need to get specific. You can't expect to copy the Ingebrigtsen model and get the same results as he does for the 1500 meters. So the moral of the story, if you're training for a longer race, focus on aerobic development and sprinkle in some longer hills periodically. You might also want to do some roller coaster runs too, where you do some generally hilly runs in general. So you might want to do some hilly long runs that get race specific. So you might want to do an 18 mile hilly long run to mimic how maybe the New York City Marathon would feel, or something along those lines. But get specific. That's my one takeaway here. Now, if you're training for a shorter hilly race, the party changes. If you're training for a hilly 5k or a 10k, then you really need to prioritize hill workouts with the shorter reps. You probably want to be doing 1 to 2 minute hill workouts, and maybe you want to even throw in some 30 second hills like the Ingebrigtsens do. Maybe you want to do that every other week to stimulate the neuromuscular system in a very concentrated manner. But because the hills in these races are likely a lot shorter and a little bit steeper, you will probably need to develop your power and speed up hills much more than if you were training for the marathon. So by doing these shorter, faster hill workouts, training for a hilly 5k or 10k course, you will teach your body to run up the hill with good mechanics while going fast. So again, you will teach your body how to tolerate high levels of lactate while running up hills hard, and you will achieve the specific power and speed type muscle fiber adaptations that are crucial in shorter hilly or 5k, 10k courses. The same principle applies to cross country, and you might even want to move some of your hill workouts onto grass if you were a cross country runner. So the big takeaway here is you need to make your hill training specific to the race you are training for. The shorter the race you are training for, the shorter the hill reps you need to find or do, I guess. And the longer the race you are training for, the less relevant hills are for you, and the more you need to focus on aerobic development and longer hills and hillier runs in general. Now, let's talk about hill sprints. And a lot of runners call this the secret sauce of their running. And hill sprints are more of a, I'd call a drill that you do after an easy run rather than a workout. But I want to first talk about sprinting, because sprinting is a term that people throw around way too much. To sprint means to run as fast as you can. It's to be all out, to go as fast as you possibly can run, maximum effort, and us distance runners don't sprint that often. Even during strides, we are only working our way up to 95% of our maximum speed. We are not sprinting all out. However, hill sprints are actual, all-out, short, max-intensity sprints up the steepest hill you can find. They're 8 to 10 seconds, so they're really short. Many people think that you can maintain your top speed for 400 meters. Then can you please explain why the 400-meter world record is 43.0 seconds, and the 100-meter record is 9.58? That just doesn't add up. Here, actually, I'm going to Google it right now. What is 4 times 9.5? Here, I'm going to ask Google. Google, what's 4 times 9.58? It's 38.32. It's not possible. That's 5 seconds off. If you can expect that you can run at your 100 meter pace for 400 meters, you are dang wrong, because it's 38.32. So, moral of the story, you cannot maintain your top speed for as long as people think you can. So, hill sprints are true all-out sprints of 8 to 10 seconds. And that's the important part. We don't want to be running 30 seconds, because at that point it becomes a hill repetition. Now, because I say that hill sprints are only 8 to 10 seconds, many people are going to think, oh, you could knock out 8 to 10 of those in just 3 minutes. No, that's actually not the case. In fact, it's pretty much the opposite. And that's because you are sprinting at a maximum effort. And because you are sprinting at a maximum effort, it requires that you take a full recovery after each sprint. Think 90 seconds to 2 minutes so your muscles can recover and so that you will be ready for the next sprint, so that you can actually go all out and reap the benefits that you need to reap. Many distance runners are making or have made fun of sprinters because, well, if you're in high school and you go to a track practice, the sprinters are going to be walking around for most of the time. That's right, they're going to be recovering from their 45 meter sprints or 50 meter sprints or however far their sprints are, and that's what they do. They walk around a lot, and so many distance runners make fun of them, but that's what they need to do in order to get the most out of each rep. So because of that, hill sprints, these sessions are not going to take, they're not going to take as long as like a interval workout, but they're surely not going to be 3 minutes. So some of my hill sprint workouts have taken like 15 minutes, whereas my strides take like 8 minutes. So it really does depend. And hill sprints are not a joke, so keep that in mind. And hill sprints are beneficial for a variety of reasons. They strengthen your muscles and connective tissues. They increase your stride power. They make you less injury prone. They improve your form and your economy. And so hill sprints are very beneficial. But even though they are beneficial, let's avoid a few mistakes. The first mistake is let's sprint. Let's go all out. Many distance runners make the mistake of just not going all out. They sandbag it a little bit. They go like maybe 90% of their max speed, 95. They run it like a stride. But hill sprints are supposed to be all out. You're supposed to draw from a greater pool of muscle fibers. You're supposed to activate and really stress the muscles in the connective tissues in a way that you don't see in strides or anything else like that. And you won't get the full benefits if you don't sprint. Let's also keep the sprints at 8 to 10 seconds, otherwise a 30 second hill is not a sprint, but instead a repetition. Many people think, oh, I did 30 second sprints today up a hill. It's not a sprint, it's a repetition. And also, here's another tip, if you have to choose from a short recovery and less sprints, choose less sprints, because that's the only way you can get the true benefit. If you do less sprints, but you actually go max effort, that's so much better than doing 8 sprints, but going like sandbagging it and doing like 90% effort. Finally, my last tip is, I beg of you, even though these are all out sprints, even though I just said that you should sprint, make the first sprint at 98% effort. Even though I like to put these sprints after an easy run, easy running is simply not good enough of a warm-up to prime you for all-out sprinting. So because of that, you want to start your first sprint at 98% and don't pull a muscle that way. And then you could go all-out from there. So how you do hill sprints? You simply find the steepest hill you can find after an easy run. you find a hill that you can maybe do for 8 to 10 seconds all out, and you take about a 90 to second to 2 minute recovery afterwards. If you are a beginner with hill sprints, do just 2 to 3 and you work your way up to 8 to 10 seconds at the max. If you're a super experienced runner, super advanced runner, you might be able to do 12 second hills, but that's the absolute maximum you should do. And after just a few weeks of hill sprints once per week, after an easy run, you will see tremendous benefits. So, talking about hills, in my opinion, every runner should be incorporating hill workouts at least sometime in the season, at the very least hill sprints, and I think that they will benefit greatly if they incorporate hills into their regular training regimen. However, there are three categories of runners that I think would benefit the most from hill workouts. That is injury-prone runners, runners who are training for a hilly race, and new runners. For injury-prone runners, like we talked about earlier, hills are a safer alternative for track workouts or road workouts because there's less impact on the joints, muscles, connective tissues, and the musculoskeletal system as a whole. So if you have problems tolerating high amounts of higher intensity running, I guess you could say, then you could move that to the hills and you'll get less impact overall, and it'll build more strength, which strength is very important for injury prone runners. And then hills also promote good running form, and so therefore if you have good running form, then that'll also have less risk for injury. So the second category is runners who are training for a hilly race. You must get specific in your training, and you must train specifically for the race you are training for, whether that race is a 5K, a marathon, hills, no hills, whatever it's known for. You need to train specifically. There is no excuse if you train 4 months for the New York City Marathon, but you bomb the hills. There is absolutely no excuse. You need to get specific and follow the tips I gave earlier about how to train for a hillier race depending on the race distance. Even though we need to be focusing on aerobic development during marathon training, we can still be doing hilly long runs to emulate race day, or we could be doing longer hills at more of a tempo workout while still getting up to higher levels of lactate. So there are no excuses when it comes to, oh, well, it's a long marathon and it's hilly, well, I'm just gonna completely phase out hills. No, you still need to add hills, especially if you're training for a hillier race. That is very important. And then the third category is newer runners. Often underrated, hills for newer runners are great, and they're great for building running skill and power, like with the benefits I boasted about earlier when it comes to good running mechanics, strength, running specific strength, form, etc. So hills are your greatest ally for newer runners, and you will be far ahead of the pack when it comes to longevity and many other things later in your career. Thank you for listening to episode 34 of the Sunday Shakeout. I hope all you guys really enjoyed it. A great talk on hills, I hope it was. Sound like Yoda, a great talk on hills, I hope it was. That was my good Yoda impression. Hopefully it was good. But yeah, hills are fun. Not really, but if you incorporate them, I find that if you use them strategically, like, I'm not saying hit the hills every day. That's a really bad mistake. But if you can incorporate maybe certain phase of the season, maybe you can do one of those repetition workouts, maybe like once a week, maybe during the base phase, like Ingebrigtsen. You can do some longer hills. It really does depend. You just kind of have to apply it to your own training. With a little bit of trial and error, you'll find what works best for you, like most things in running. So that's kind of my biggest tip of the day. Find what works best for you when it comes to hills. And yeah, that's all I got to say. So if you enjoyed this episode of the Sunday Shakeout, please consider following to or subscribing to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. I would also greatly appreciate a review in Apple Music, Spotify, or anywhere else you find your podcasts. If you have any questions regarding anything running, you can feel free to reach out to me at thesundayshakeout@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. I just want to thank all my listeners for the support, and everybody who comments down below, everybody who participates in the polls. It helps me make my episodes better, and I always love it when you guys have feedback for me. You guys are the ones who keep the lights on, and that's what's important, keeping the lights on. Yep, we love keeping the lights on. So I hope you all really enjoy your day. I hope you all really hit the hills, and yeah, peace out. This is the Sunday Shakeout.